Well, amen. Praise the Lord again for that special. What a blessing it is when you come to church and you just get ministered to. And I've been blessed already by being here tonight just through the music program this evening. We praise the Lord for it. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of 1 Kings in chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Elijah. The life of Elijah, and we've been in it now for some time, and there's been so much that we have found in the Bible character Elijah, possibly the only Bible character you find in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament, and then also in the tribulation period. I believe that Elijah is going to be one of the two witnesses. We've already studied some of that and what the Bible has to say about him. A very powerful, powerful Bible character. And so we've been studying a lot of things concerning Elijah, and it had been 3.5 years, as we're here in 1 Kings chapter 18, been 3.5 years since Elijah first addressed King Ahab, and that was the very first mention in the Bible about this Bible character named Elijah, a very powerful prophet of God, and he started from the very beginning addressing the king of Israel. And somehow after he addressed the king of Israel, what a mountaintop experience in his life. And then we found that God sent him on a very low part, a valley, where he told him now to go hide yourself. And during that time, he would go and be alone for almost 2 years, just with him and God and the ravens, as a raven would be feeding him. And God had purpose for all of that. And but it had been 3.5 years, and we'll get into some of the others just a little bit, but 3.5 years, but now he is back, and he is better prepared than ever before to stand before King Ahab and to tell him exactly, and the people, the nation of Israel, exactly what God had for him to tell them. And so 1 Kings chapter 18, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be looking here at verse 17. Now, we've already studied a little bit here, 17 down to verse 20. We're going to reread that, and then we'll be studying 21 through 24 tonight. But in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress it, and cut in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken." And let's pray, and we'll get into it tonight. Father, as we bow before you again, Lord, thank you for the opportunity that each one that's here had, and they chose to take advantage of it and to be in the assembly tonight. I just pray, God, that you would minister to each one according to whatever they have need of tonight. And then, Father, I pray for the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again, that you would empower it, anoint it, and use it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we've already studied, that God used that time, that 3.5 years, to prepare Elijah, and he also used that 3.5 years to prepare Ahab and the nation of Israel. For 3.5 years, God was working to strengthen Elijah. He was working to get Ahab to realize some things concerning being king of Israel. And the people, for 3.5 years, they had seen the drought that Elijah had prophesied would come upon them. For 3.5 years, they had no water in their land. There was no dew on the ground. And so by this time, there was famine in the land. There had been many a death. There had been all sorts of things you can imagine without any rain and without any dew for 3.5 years, what that would do to the land. They had been living there and experiencing this for that period of time. And so now we find that after this 3.5 years, Elijah comes back. Can I tell you that as we looked at this for verse 17 down to verse 20 last time, the meaning and the theme that we preached last lesson was timing is everything. Timing is everything. He uses time to align everything. Only God can do that. Only God knows who's going to be affected by whatever takes place. And Almighty God is a sovereign God, and He has the whole world and eternity in view all the time. And so no matter what happens in our lives, can I tell you, God is aware of it. He's aware of every hair on our head. He's aware of every bird that falls out of a tree. God is very much aware of everything. And when something happens to us, God has to allow it. God didn't cause it all to happen. But God has to allow it because He's aware of it. But not only is He aware of that situation and that circumstance, He's aware of how that will impact others. Whatever we go through, then no man is an island. No man lives unto himself. Every one of us has an impact or an influence on somebody else. And you never know just how that influence can impact not only your family and your society, but how it could eventually impact the world. And I think we see this in missionaries going to the mission field and all the different things and everything aligning up at the right time. Well, that's God. God makes sure that He uses time, and His timing is everything. And there's a purpose and a plan for time. One day, time will be no more. See, when God created humanity, He created and designed time. And at that particular time, it was designed to go all the way through the millennial reign. After the millennial reign, time will be no more. The earth will be destroyed. And then it's eternity from that point on. But there is time in between. There's been time, and God has a purpose for time. So timing is everything. So now we find here that Ahab now agrees to Elijah's request. Now, I love that because there's no way 3.5 years earlier, if Elijah would have came to Ahab and said, all right, I want you to gather all the prophets of Baal together, and I want you to gather all the people in Israel together so that I might address them. There's no way he would have done that. But after 3.5 years, after what had taken place, now, when Elijah tells him, I want you to bring all the prophets of Baal together, I want you to bring all the inhabitants of Israel, I want you to bring all the people together and allow me to address them, Ahab agrees. Took time to do that. But it was time now. And something else that I was looking at here and studying, Jezebel was nowhere in sight. She's gone to visit her parents or something. She's not in the area because she would have rebelled against this. And Ahab would have. He had been listening to Jezebel the whole time and killing the prophets of God and putting the prophets of Baal in position. Ahab did not come by that on his own. She was an influence in his life. And she was the one who wanted to replace God with Baal worship. And she had that kind of a powerful influence. And we'll see this later on as well. But she had that kind of a powerful influence over the king of Israel. But now, in God's timing, Jezebel's gone. Now, she's still alive. She's just not there during this time. God worked it all out. For Jezebel to be gone, for Ahab to see what had taken place in 3.5 years. And so when Elijah says, I want you, verse 19, and therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. No way he would have done that. But the Bible says at this time, so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Amen. God's timing. God's timing. We just need to make sure that we are in agreement with God's timing. The only way that you can know for sure that you're in agreement with God's timing is to stay in touch with God and to counsel, seek His counsel, seek His direction in your life. And He will. God controls the circumstances as well. So here we find now that's taken place. Timing is everything. Now Ahab is there. He brings all the prophets together. He brings all the people of the nation of Israel together. And now we find that Elijah, first of all, Elijah addresses the people because that's the ones that God was most concerned about. This is Israel. This is God's chosen people. And so God now has sent Elijah to present to Israel, not Elijah's message, but God's message to God's people. That's what a prophet does. That's what a man of God does when he preaches the word of God. He's not preaching his word. He's not preaching his philosophy. If he is, he's not a man of God. But if he's a man of God, he has spent time with God. He has looked into the scriptures. He has studied the scriptures, and he is preaching what thus saith the Lord. And the people benefit from that. So Elijah, first of all, here addresses the people. Verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, if you believe the Lord to be God, then stop messing around and follow Him. If you really believe that what Jezebel has brought into the nation of Israel, if you really believe that the religion of Baal is truly superior than Almighty Creator God, if you believe in Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So we find here this word halt. That word halt there means to waver. A double-minded man, if you will. Somebody that is just kind of wishy-washy in what they believe. Somebody that on Monday they believe in associating with the world, living however you want to live. But then when Sunday comes around, they believe that, well, I ought to be a Christian on Sunday, come to church, worship God, but it's only on Sunday. I can go out and live another way Monday through Saturday. They said that's a double-minded man. The Bible has much to say about a double-minded man. But here we find Elijah's coming. Exactly what's going on with the people of Israel, the children of God. They were wavering between opinions, positions, and convictions. Amen? Might have a conviction one day, I don't have it the next day because I don't want to have it the next day. But then it benefits me to have it on the following day. It doesn't benefit me to have it on the next day. But whatever it is, you see, back and forth. Believe the Bible is the Word of God one day. The next day I believe that, well, just contains the words of God. I have to focus on what God says one day. The next day I can then listen to the philosophies of man. And going back and forth. And the idea here is they were wavering or they were halting between God being God or Baal being God. And they had been doing this for some time. We know of the last 3.5 years in dealing with these trials of life, dealing with life without rain, life without dew on the ground. This had to come from somewhere. Is God doing this? Is Baal doing this? What is happening here? For 3.5 years, they had to be under this type of conviction. They had to be under this kind of a wondering, what is happening to Israel? Who truly is God? Is God, the Lord God, still God? Or is Baal God? So that's what's taken place. Some were definitely for Baal. I know there's at least 850. There was 400 prophets and then 400 prophets of the groves, which ate at Jezebel's table. So there's 850 there. They were definitely for Baal. And they're under the influence and under the words of Elijah. And they've already said, well, we've already decided Baal's God. Because that we've given our lives to serve Baal. And then there was the rest of the people. Where were they at? Those that were 100% convinced that Baal was Baal, they were already taking a stand. They were already changing the laws of the land. They were already tearing down anything that would be in opposition to Baal, and they were building these groves, and they was building this worship. But that was not the majority. I hope you're seeing some of the similarities in our world today. That was not the majority, but the majority was afraid to say anything. The majority were still halting between two opinions. When if they would have taken a stand and they would have said, we believe in God, Baal would not have been able to replace God in their society. But in saying nothing and not knowing where you stand and not knowing where you believe, you allow those, the minority, to establish laws and establish certain types of how to live lifestyles, and it becomes the norm. And once it becomes the norm, then it's even more difficult for anyone to speak up because, wait a minute, if I speak up, then they're going to identify me with this group. And I'm not sure that I want to be identified with that group. But I don't know for sure I want to identify with this group. There's something in me. There's a conviction within me. There's something that tells me that it's unnatural. But I can't say anything about it because if I do, then that will... It gets me associated with this side on over here. And I'm just not sure I want to say that. Politicians are really good for that. Speaking and saying a lot of things without saying anything. Using a lot of words. That is something I got to give Donald Trump a kudos for. He usually says what he believes. He says what he's thinking anyway. I don't know where that's going to lead us, but that's not what I'm most concerned about. What I am most concerned about in America is those who know that God is still God, but are halting between opinions. Yeah. So some were definitely for Baal. There was no doubt about that because they were the ones that were the most outspoken in changing things. But I believe that most, and we'll continue to see that most still believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they wouldn't take a stand. The longer they wavered, the more would cross over to Baal. Especially the children. Especially the young, because they would have not been taught any better. They would not have been taught what they had been taught and passed down to them what had been passed down to the other children of Israel concerning the truth of God, concerning the reality of God delivering them out of Egypt, concerning the reality of God opening the Red Sea, the reality of God allowing them to go over the Jordan River on dry ground, the reality of God giving them the land of Canaan as the promised land. Amen. The reality and the things that God had said, pass this on to the next generation, have them pass it on to the next generation, and have them pass it on to the next generation, because they are not to forget what I've done and who I am. somehow we have forgotten. And somehow, because we haven't passed it on to the next generation are being raised to not even believe there is a God. Because too many were halting between two opinions, positions, convictions. Well, the longer they wavered, the more crossed over to Baal, and the more tried to merge the two together. Trying to merge Christianity with Baalism. We don't want to totally give up on this, but we can understand this over here too. And so why don't we just kind of cast out the things that are opposite each other and bring it together and all come together, join arms and sing Kumbaya. And just let's focus on this idea of love and unity and let everybody do whatever they want to do and believe whatever they want to believe and let's just get along. In order to do that, you got to throw out doctrine. In order to do that, you got to throw out morality. In order to do that, you have to either throw out or water down the what thus saith the Lord. You can't go by the Bible any longer because it's too narrow-minded. Amen. So, this is what's taking place. And so Elijah, the powerful man of God, he goes to them and says, how long are you going to do this? The last 3.5 years, you ought to have been making up your mind because I told you that God was going to stop the rain. That was the last thing they had heard 3.5 years earlier, that God was going to judge and there would be no rain and no dew, and there had been no rain and no dew on the ground. Can I tell you that tonight, no one can remain neutral. If you're trying to straddle the fence, if you're trying to remain neutral, you will gravitate to the other side. Because God does not deal with those, He does not fellowship with those that want to remain neutral. Let's look at some scripture. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You see, God and Baal are opposites. God and religion are opposites. No matter what religion it is, it's Christ or it's Antichrist. Simple as that. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came some 2,000 years ago. It is proof positive He came 2,000 years ago. He walked on planet Earth. He revealed Himself to be the only begotten Son of God. He laid His life down on Calvary's cross. He did exactly what He said He would do. In 3 days, He resurrected from the grave. He did exactly what He said He would do. He was going to establish and then He would build His church. For some 2,000 years, His church has continued to remain strong. He did exactly what He said He'd do. He said, this heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away. We have the preserved word of God today. He did exactly what He said He would do. And there is enough signs and there's enough evidence of God that would help us to say God is God. Amen. He's given us enough, no doubt about it, especially in the United States of America. Amen. You go back over the history of the United States of America and you can see the hand of God giving us victory after victory. You can see the people of America crying out to God for deliverance, crying out to God for repentance, crying out to God for prayer. You can see president after president of times past calling upon the nation, the whole nation, to get on their knees before God and pray for God to deliver us. You can see in the history of the church how the church has continued to preach the very words that God has given to us. Praise the Lord for the heritage, the Baptist heritage that we have tonight. Because we have not faltered, we have not wavered. Baptist doctrine is the same today as it was back when Jesus established it. Yeah. Wow. So, you cannot remain neutral. It's Christ or Antichrist. It's God's word or the philosophies of man. And we have to decide. And God would have us to decide. Matthew chapter 6, let's get back over there. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Jesus teaching, and he says, no man can serve two masters. How long halt you between two masters? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Can't have two masters. If you think you can, then you are serving mammon. You're turning to the ways of the world. Because it's either Christ or it's Antichrist. It's either exactly what Christ taught or it is in opposition to what Christ taught. In Exodus chapter 20, because of time, I won't go there. But the Bible tells us God tells Israel exactly how they were to look to him and not look to any other gods. Small letter G, gods, for there are no other gods. Amen. They were not to build idols. They were not to do what they were doing in worshiping Baal. No doubt about it. That was absolutes. Today, you find that most Christians today do not believe in absolutes. Well, we have to study the situation and see who's involved and what's going on here, and let's interpret it with a little bit of human philosophy and understanding, and then we will decide what is right and wrong. No, the Bible's already decided. God's already decided it. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God says it's sin, it's sin. We need to understand that. It's either God's word or man's philosophy. Matthew, you're there in chapter 7. Look over to chapter 12 with me. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Amen. You following me tonight? Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. He that is not with me is what? It's against me. It's either Christ or it's Antichrist. There's no in between. There's no neutral. If you're not with me, if you're not holding true to what I have taught, you're against me. And he that gathers not with me scattereth abroad. That's exactly what's taking place. And one last one here that hopefully we would all understand is when Jesus gave us in the book of Revelation, the churches there, and told us about the seven churches of the church age. He said that this last church, which is the day and age that we live in today, and what was going to attack the true church more than anything else, was this philosophy that Elijah was addressing with Israel. That's that lukewarm Christianity. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. If you're trying to mix the two, if you're trying to mix Christianity with anything else, God says, I will spew you out of my mouth. Do not think that you can have a close walk with God and be in fellowship with God if you're trying to take what Christ taught and mix it in with whatever humanism teaches. It is a lukewarm Christianity, and that's what we are facing here today in America. And because of that, no one is wanting to take the stand that they ought to want to take. And because of the Christians not taking stands where they ought to take stands, then the Baal worshipers are changing society. Amen. Yeah. Well, what's the most important thing we can do, preacher? Well, the most important thing you could do is learn the truth. And then make your voice count. Live it. Have a Christian testimony at work. Have a Christian testimony in your schools. Have a Christian testimony in your neighborhood. Have a Christian testimony when you go to the polls and let your voice be made known. Make sure that you are voting biblical standards. What you vote for is the closest thing to what is biblical that's out there. Well, there's none of it biblical. I understand in some situations, but you still have to let your voice be heard, and you stand on that which is closest to the Word of God and to that one who's going to stand for what the Bible teaches. Make your voice count. Make your testimony count. Let people see Christ. Many try to merge the two opinions, to Christ with Antichrist, God with Baal. They're trying to merge. They will never merge. God will not allow that. 2 Timothy chapter 4 helps us to see this as well. Right after he taught in chapter 3, he told them from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It says the word of God is what you need to look to for all of these things. And then he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Amen. Don't water it down. Don't try to merge the word of God with humanism. Don't try to merge the word of God with Baalism. Don't try to merge the word of God with any other philosophies of man. Just simply preach what thus saith the Lord. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, and don't forget doctrine. For the time will come, and it's here, when they will not endure, because they're going to be halting between two opinions. They will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to seek somebody to tell them it's all right. And there'll be a church established that will tell you it's all right. There'll be a so-called church, not a true church, but there'll be a church that will agree with whatever you want to agree with, let you do whatever you want to do. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Wow. How can we not see that? Amen? I mean, anybody that reads the Bible, how can you not see that? And yet, we're living in a day and age where Christians in a Christian nation are halting between two opinions, trying to merge it, trying to do whatever they can. Well, to show the conviction here, they answered not a word. No doubt when he was preaching this, they're all under conviction, but they're thinking, well, I still don't know. And if we stand with him, then there's 850 prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves, and they outnumber Elijah 850-1. And they say, oh, even though we know you're right, Elijah, we can't publicly agree with you for fear of what would happen. And they answered not a word. And then the challenge. And very quickly here, the challenge. Go back there with me. Verse 22 down to verse 24. First of all, he tells them, I understand that there's just one of me. Now, he wasn't saying, in this particular thing, he wasn't saying I'm the only one. He was the only one there. He was the only one standing for Christ, standing for God, the Creator God. He was the only one standing there. And there were 450 of the prophets of Baal. And then there was another 400 of the prophets of the groves that ate at Jezebel's table. So he tells them that in verse 22. One against all the others. And then I love verse 23 and verse 24 because it establishes the faith that he had in his God. The faith that he had in his God. Could you have as much faith if there's just one of you standing before 850 other so-called preachers who say that I know the Bible, I know religion? He says, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. He said, let them choose. Let them get their bullocks. Let them decide how they're going to do it. I'm not going to play any kind of trickery here. I'm just going to make sure they're not playing any kind of trickery. Let's do it the same. And then he says, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, they finally spoke up, it is well spoken. That'll do it. That'll do it. One against 850, if you can prove to us that God is God and he can light a fire and he can keep the prophets of Baal from lighting their fire, that'll do it. What faith Elijah had. I trust that we would have the very same kind of faith. But see, God took him through some trials for him to have that kind of faith. You might be going through some trials right now. Can I tell you, God is still God no matter what goes on in your life. You better use it and look to it as God trying to strengthen you. Because trials are designed by God to strengthen our faith. Amen. 2 years at the brook. 2 years in seclusion. No one but Elijah, the ravens. Twice a day he's seen miracles. He's seen God feed him twice a day by sending the ravens to take him food. There was God, Elijah, and the ravens for 2 years. I guarantee you that impacted him. That strengthened him. After that, he went to a widow lady who was about ready to die, and her son. And he told her, feed me first. Not out of pride and arrogance, but out of knowing that was God's will. And when she did, she acknowledged that. He seen for the next year and a half how that God kept the meal and the oil from drying up. So again, every day he experienced the miracle of God in just day-to-day things. After that, her son died. He experienced the power of God upon his life to bring this child back to life. After 3.5 years, he was prepared because his faith was so, if God could do everything he's done for me in the last 3.5 years, I have no doubt at all, if God had me to come and to challenge this, that God would light that fire. I don't care how many's on the other side, because he knew that him and God were the majority. Amen. That's a truth that God's given to us in this life of Elijah. He's trying to help us to realize that God is God, and that if you're doing what God would have you to do and you're sure that God is on your side, you and God are a majority no matter who stands against you. God is able. Amen. And because my God is able, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Wow. We are to prove what we believe. If you've not proved what you believe, you don't really believe it. There was a time when I was first called into the ministry, I had to know that what I was going to give my life to was truth. I got alone with just my Bible and me. I said, God, if this call is real, if I'm going to give the rest of my life, you've got to reveal yourself to me. I've got to know by the reading of this word that it's true. And I was up all night in my own prayer closet, just reading the word. And God spoke to me more during that time. And I come out of that prayer closet thinking, there is no doubt in my mind. I'm not Baptist because I was raised Baptist. I'm not Baptist because some preacher has brainwashed me. I am Baptist and I believe this Bible, the doctrines of this Bible, because I have been in it. And God has spoke to me through it. That was 36 years ago. I've been preaching the word ever since. I've never one time since then doubted the reality of God. Now, I've doubted some things in my own life, and things, but I've never doubted the reality. Why? Because I proved it. Malachi. Chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, prove me. When it comes to storehouse tithing, prove me, saith the Lord. See if I'll not show you. 1 John chapter 4, I'm getting ready to close here, but I want to share this last couple of thoughts. 1 John chapter 4, let me just read it to you. Verse 1 says this, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You cannot just believe because a man says it. You can't believe something because a religion has taught it. You can't believe it, especially just because you've heard it on television. You had better get in that prayer closet. Take with you what God says represents Him. And let God speak to you through it. Prove it. He tells us in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. And this is it. I'm done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. After he says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Verse 21, he says this. Prove all things in your own heart and mind. Know that you know it's true. And then hold fast that which is good. Once you've proven it, don't allow yourself to be talked out of it. Don't allow any trial. Don't allow any teachings. Don't allow anyone or anything to put doubt in your heart concerning what you have proven and what you know to be truth. If you know it to be truth, we'll be confident in our walk, and that truth, as the Bible says, will set you free. Free from doubt, free from worry. If you know it to be true, your faith will be increased. And then finally, the people spoke out and said, we want to stop halting between two opinions. You're right, Elijah. We've been tossed back and forth. It's not how we want to live our lives. And what you have suggested here, what you have said, let's do it. And let's finally get this thing settled once and for all. If God be God, I'm going to serve Him as God. If there's another God, I'll serve Him. But I've got to prove in my own heart. I've got to know what I believe. and what I base it on. And if you can base it on this Bible right here, amen, you can know, because that Bible will never change. The Word of God is established forever. Are you halting between two opinions tonight? We're going to find out what happens here as we continue the story. But the first thing is to realize I have been. I've been wavering, tossed back and forth. Can I tell you, Satan is getting the victory. He's confusing you. He's taking away your confidence. He's taking away your peace. Listen to me. Get it settled. Stop it. Know for sure, based on the very words of God. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. We don't want to live a life halting between two opinions. We don't want to live wavering, one day believing, next day not believing, one day knowing I'm saved, next day not sure I'm saved, one day knowing I'm called to ministry, next day not sure I'm called to ministry, one day knowing this, next. I mean, that's confusion that is not of God. God is not the author of confusion. Prove it. And then once you've proved it, hold fast. Don't ever be talked out of what you know to be truth. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray, God, that you would just continue to help us. And Lord, maybe there's somebody tonight that needs to make decisions. Even though we're not going to have a musical invitation, there is an invitation taking place right now. If there's anybody here that needs to make a decision based upon what you've spoken to them about tonight, I pray right now they would leave their pew, come to this altar, make whatever decision needs to be made. God, work in our midst. Bless during this time. In Jesus' name.